The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson, and we're from the Recognition Management Institute with a great program I'm very excited about today, Roy. How about you?
Oh, very much so. I can't believe you had an opportunity to go to India and meet with our guest today, Vineet Nayar. I know he's had a great kind of focus lately in the media with his new book, Employees First, Customers Second. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about him and the company he's the CEO of.
Yes, thank you, Roy. In fact, you're right. Vineet Nayar, CEO of HCL Technologies, a $2.3 billion company with approximately 60 to 65,000 employees globally, 26 different countries. I mean, it's just amazing. And
right.
And Vineet was so generous with his time. It was unbelievable. I had asked him, you know, if we could do an interview like this, particularly around this book that he had just written about employees first, customer second. And he said, absolutely. I said, I'm coming to Delhi. And obviously, I was speaking in Bangalore and a couple other places anyway, but it was wonderful to be in Delhi and to meet with him for an hour. So we did a recording on that and had a really good conversation that just kind of flowed. So maybe with that, I'll introduce Vineet, and then we'll take a listen to the recording. What do you think?
Look forward to it.
Excellent. So for our listeners, Vineet, as I mentioned, leads a team of 60 to 65,000 people, 26 different countries, in driving growth in an IT services industry. Interesting for me, Roy, as well, that Vineet's company, years and years past, actually didn't always have the reputation it has now. In fact, it used to be more of a burn-and-churn type of reputation,
okay.
Whereas now HCL is like the company people want to be a part of, and it's transcending. I mean, the reputation is pervasive throughout India. People know it as a good company, and it's primarily because of the way Vineet, I believe, is changing the way people are being treated. His mantra of employees first and a strong belief in value-based leadership has been recognized globally. Fortune magazine has articulated his leadership style as the world's most modern management, and the London Business School calls him the leader of organizational innovation. Harvard Business School has written a case study on the transformation at HCL based on his innovative and radical leadership, and the case study is being taught in strategy and leadership classes at Harvard.
Cool.
He's a regular contributor on Harvard Business Review blogging. He speaks at all the global conferences around what they're doing at HCL. And interestingly, they are thriving in an environment where we've obviously gone through a global recession and turmoil in so many different ways. And yet, despite all that, HCL continues to grow. With his strong strategic vision and truly global outlook, he's chartered a defining growth path for HCL Technologies, and in a short time span, he's capitulated the organization to being one of the fastest-growing companies in the Indian IT landscape. Under his leadership, HCL Technologies made it to the fastest-growing Business Week top 100 tech companies, and IDC recognizes Vineet as having the most cohesive and articulate vision in the IT services sector. Starting his career with HCL as a senior manager trainee in 1985, Vineet has held leadership positions in sales and strategic marketing and was the CEO of the infrastructure business before he took on his present role. With that in mind, yeah, it's amazing, right? He's a great leader and a great person. I'll tell you that. As a human being, he was very personal, very fun to be with. Let's take a listen to this recording and see what you think.
Wow. Look forward to it.
My belief is that if organizations do not change periodically, that's once in 3 years, they tend to get obsolete.
Yeah.
And therefore, change management or how to change is a very big issue with all of us, right? Human nature, you know, by the way we are built, we try and look for stability, whether it is in a house, you completely buy a house, you don't have to, but you love to buy a house rather than rent a house,
yes.
And it's, you know, buy an asset rather than rent an asset.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human nature, and therefore we, you know, we are not nomadic by nature, and we are stability oriented, and therefore that doesn't augur well for, you know, organizations and environment we need to change constantly. And therefore the ability for an organization to go left and right and feel excited about it and not search for stability is a big competitive differentiator if you can achieve it.
Yes.
And it's a big competitive, you know, dragger that you may have a great idea, but you will not be able to execute it. So if you look at what Apple has done very well, he has aligned people very aggressively towards innovation. And therefore the number of ideas he throws out of the company are maybe 100 times more than the number of innovations he keeps inside the company.
Sure.
And I think with each of the innovations he throws out of the company, somebody would have made $1 billion on that itself. But because of that obsession, he's able to manage change very well. So at HCL, we thought, what should be our mantra? That people get excited about change. People, so it's not just one-time transformation, but the transformation constantly keeps going on. And I think the fact we came up with is a simple philosophy is what, look at the mirror and say you're waged. Right? The truth, the mirror, and creating that powerful need for change.
Yeah.
And once you create the need for change, you give up what you have. So your house is not good, or your neighborhood is not good. You know, it's very important to give up what you have, because if you do not give up the stability of what you have, you're not going to move to the next level. So that's the important mantra for us. The second mantra was that what you want to do tomorrow has to be a very compelling vision. And unless that is compelling, you will not move. And so what is our compelling vision? There is where the employees first, customer second concept came in terms of our compelling vision is that we will create so much value for our customers through our employees that nobody else can come close to us.
Now, others have tried, however, right? I mean, there's a lot of companies that will say our people are our most important asset. Yet at the end of the day, that doesn't translate.
Yeah, I think, you know, that it's a very interesting thing. When I read the book of Tony Hsieh and we were talking about happiness versus, you know, how does that book compare to what our concept is? I think you hit the nail on the head. In terms of people-oriented strategies and making people happy or making people feel good about what they're doing or treating them as your primary asset, we've seen a lot of that. You know, for creating a sustainable advantage to your business, my personal belief is that it has to be center stage to your strategy. That it's not an HR initiative. It is the core business strategy you wish to follow very selfishly to achieve growth. So unless a businessman is clear that that is, you know, let's very interestingly go to an army. And you are a battle chief, right? And you have a set of army. And you are very clear in your mind that you have one sword and your army has another 10,000 swords. And therefore, the only way you will win the war is by encouraging, enabling them. You don't say they are my asset or...
Right.
You are very clear that you are going to die if they give up, right?
This is it.
This is it. And therefore, you behave in a fashion which is very clearly that they stand in between you and the enemy, they are the people and they are the wall. And therefore, you work with passion, you work a passion up for them, you take care of them, you meal with them, you do all that stuff. When we come back into the education, into our organization, we forget about it.
Yes.
And therefore, we delegate it to somebody else and saying people are our asset, some slogan, some photograph.
That's right.
Best boy of the month or best girl of the month. And
right.
All. And we think that is enough. We forget it, that it is not enough.
Yeah.
What is enough is that passion which is required
right.
to enthuse them every day.
Well, and they roll their eyes, right? They're cynical about it because they've heard it before. We've been treated like this before, and it's not motivating.
I think, you know, that brings me to the second topic in terms of the reason they they don't feel motivated by the slogans is because they don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know, the issue is that you cannot start transformation unless you create environment of trust.
Yeah.
And how do you create an environment of trust without demonstrating transparency?
Yeah.
You say one good thing today and you say one good thing tomorrow, you know, you're not going to get them to believe it. You can believe in your voice, you can believe in your beautiful slogans and marketing slogans, but the employees are very smart, like your kids are very smart.
Yeah.
They exactly know at the point they should trust you, exactly know the point they should not trust you.
In the book, you talk about that, and it seems like you're very, very vulnerable. You're very forthright with everyone saying, listen, I've made some mistakes here. And you talk about this transparency, and so many people are afraid of being that transparent. Maybe because we're trying to hide our weaknesses or, you know, I have to look superior. How do you stay grounded in that?
I think this is something which is the core of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult for me to say it in the way you have said it, but I meant to say it exactly the way you have said it, which is the fact that as long as you keep on getting married to a vision of yourself, which is not true,
mm-hmm.
you will always work to prove what is not true about yourself is true.
Right. Right.
It is, and the amount of energy which you dissipate doing that is very, very large.
Yes.
For me, fortunately, I lied about myself, you know, and shocked myself out of it because of the fact that I was trying to project myself who I was not and fell down pretty hard in life.
Mm.
Whether it was my, you know, the first job when I was just about to get sacked or, you know, a couple of other instances in life. And therefore, the irrelevance of all this became quite evident to me.
Okay.
Of the fact that there is no point of having duplicity in life. So I didn't do it as a strategy, but I just said that, you know, to make life worth it, mm-hmm. why don't you live it at your terms with honesty and integrity?
Yeah.
And I to explain this concept further, and I, you know, in my conversations, I give an example that, you know, there is a desert there, and it's 12 o'clock in the noon, and you have 100 of your best and brightest along with you there,
mm-hmm.
and everybody is going all over the place. Somebody's going left, somebody's right, because everybody's directionless, and you're giving these huge motivational speeches, right?
Yeah.
And they hear it, and after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, when you're telling them just be here or go there or whatever it is, and they don't listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you take out a pole and you put it inside with a flag, you put it right in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
And that is integrity. That is what I stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Then people start either walking towards you or walking away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So you give a direction to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. People, leaders, managers should have something which is very core of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tree on the ground or a pole in a desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people know what you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
When people know what you stand for, then they can either align with you mm-hmm. or align against you.
Sure.
Right? But if they align against you, they're out from your zone of influence.
Mm-hmm.
If they align with you, then you can get a lot more done.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're right in terms of that honesty, that, you know, integrity about yourself,
mm-hmm.
that understanding of what you're good and what you're not good is a very critical aspect of surrounding people with, you know, who want to transform the company for you.
Well, they start to be able to realize that it's not just about you, isn't it?
That's true.
And that if I'm not just serving myself, I'm actually really serving the other people, then that trust that you're talking about.
Yeah, and you are serving yourself. There is nothing...
But it is dual role,
isn't
it?
Yes. There's nothing wrong to say you're serving yourself. In the end, you have the perks.
Yeah.
You have the job.
Yeah.
But you're also working the hardest.
Yeah.
Right? So there's nothing wrong with serving yourself, but at the same time, you are very clear of what you are good at, what you are not good at.
Yes.
Right? Because, see, people... One thing people... realize, and we don't realize, that very few people actually really want to sit in a CEO's chair.
Mm.
Right? Predominantly because there, it's a, you know, you get completely exposed.
Yes.
Right? There is nothing else. You can't blame anybody because you get completely exposed by the society, by the shareholders, by analysts, by media. You stand completely exposed. Now, if you stand completely exposed, the question is, not many people want to be in that seat. They want to be just the seat below that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has all the perks, but not necessarily the whole exposure.
Absolutely.
Now, you should understand that, right?
Yes.
And therefore, you are in the position because you took a conscious choice.
Mm-hmm.
And now live by your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell everybody that you're weak.
Yet there's very few leaders in my mind that still would be willing to do that. You know, that and it doesn't matter whether it be the CEO or other leader that just feels so uncomfortable that somehow it's a very different role to be that transparent about it.
So, Roy, what do you think of that first segment?
Well, I can't believe it. I think his philosophy for change and I mean, who talks about happiness in the workplace these days? I was quite amazed.
It is a lot of fun. And he's leading this way, not just with words, but with actions. And with that, let's take a quick break, then we'll get into segment two. This is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson with our guest, Vineet Nayar, and you're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. Getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and Max Brown and our unique documentary-style guest visit today with Vineet Nayar, the CEO of HCL Technologies Limited. And, you know, and Max, as I was heard the first part of your interview, I'm kind of looking forward to the new directions that I think that Vineet seems to bring to his organization, and I know he kind of talked to you about how he's going to redefine the year and how he's going to create a different mindset. That must have been very exciting to hear this firsthand.
It was, and you know, the interesting thing for me, Roy, was that he wants people to realize that we can't just look back at success in the past and think that's enough. He's always trying to challenge people to think future, think forward, and to be excited about it. So it's not just a mantra, but getting them actually excited about thinking about the future.
Wow. Well, let's look forward to hearing what Vineet thinks of the future.
Like, for me, it was interesting because you talked about HCL and realizing that people were focused on the past because maybe it looked better, that the present was ambiguous and so it wasn't clear, and that you had to give them a more positive future, something so that they wanted to look forward. Mm. How do you do that today? How do you do that going forward? How do you give people this positive future to look to?
So what happened is that it's a very interesting question. In 2005, it was very easy because we were really behind our competition.
Yeah.
In 2010, it is very tough because we are really ahead of our competition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the question we are debating this now is how do we redefine mm-hmm. who we are? And it's very interesting. So what we did in the mirror exercise of 2010, mm-hmm. which is not in the book because the book was written, I had finished it by October of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So what is interesting about 2010 is we have redefined what we call our competition.
Mm.
You know, in technology terms, what he's doing and what, you know, that competition so-called doesn't exist today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite possible to create that competition. And that competition is real. I mean, in terms of it could be real.
Yeah.
And we have seen ourselves in light of that competition
mm-hmm.
and concluded that we are actually wrong-stepped.
Mm-hmm.
So we either do become that competition ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Or we will be or somebody will pick up that idea and become that. And therefore, so what really happened in 2010, and I wish, you know, I write version two of this.
That's coming next.
No, I'm not writing anymore. Somebody else should write about this. I have enough of writing. I think the question is that if you constantly focus and worry about your weakness,
yes.
You know, there is somebody who's written a book called Play by Your Strengths. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that that's right, but I would argue that if you're constantly obsessed about your weakness, then you can create, you know, that culture of change that you are unhappy with today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the moment you create unhappiness with today, that's still an easier thing to do. You will be forced to think about tomorrow. Not a shorter tomorrow, but a better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get forced to think, that compelling vision automatically gets created. Otherwise, what happens is, whoever made an Excel sheet and a PPT have done a lot of disservice to a customer. In the board meeting today itself, our HR head was making a presentation, and I told him, just shut the bloody laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk? You know,
mm-hmm.
tell the board what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're feeling.
Okay.
And just get rid of these slides and presentations. We have our customer meet and we've just banned any PPT, no presentations.
Yeah.
So because you want unstructured thoughts to come in, and those unstructured thoughts are when they gravitate toward one singular thought,
mm-hmm.
are the exciting future for people.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you put a PPT, you have already thought about it, and now you're telling me that I should also think like you.
Yes.
That's different.
Yeah.
You know, motivation and creation of tomorrow is more around conversations.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you're actually asking for the feedback, and then, well, you can't take every piece of feedback. You mentioned in the book that the ideas that came out of that feedback made the decisions that you took to make what HCL is doing now.
Yeah.
So had you not solicited it, you wouldn't have been able to do anything. But many people solicit the information, don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
But you've actually used it.
It is because, see, you must understand what mindset you go with inside a meeting. If you go inside a meeting with a mindset that you have a point of view, which is very strong, I get a sense that you'll go out of the meeting with the same point of view.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into a meeting and saying, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
you may go out of the meeting and saying, I know a little more, or there are new ideas, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what mind frame do you go into a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And it's same is true with, you know, my daughter tells me very interestingly in saying, you know, I'm having a conversation with her. Within 5 minutes, she'll tell me, you've already made up your mind. So what's the point of having this conversation?
She'll tell you.
So they can tell you. They can smell you out. I mean, you know, so on certain things, parents have preconceived notions.
Sure.
On, you know, she's talking about a boyfriend and you can already see that. So I said, how do you know? But she knows, and where I am open, she knows. So we have long conversations on things she's open about.
Sure.
And very short conversations, she thinks I have preconceived notions about it.
Yes.
And I said, if I can't fool a 15-year-old girl,
mm-hmm.
There's no way I can fool such bright people around in that.
Yes.
So where you have an open mind, just go into a meeting and try and increase the number of meetings you go and conversations you have where you have an open mind.
And yet at the beginning, it seems that when you first took the role and you traveled and you met with these people and you felt like some of the answers you were giving felt unsettled, like you didn't know where it was coming from or what it was about. And I thought that was just amazing that you would actually share that with people in the book and be that honest about it.
Yeah.
But it's evolved, hasn't it? I mean, it seems like now you're saying, I don't have to make up the answers. If I don't know, I just tell people I don't know.
Yeah. And there are lots of, I mean, in 2010, we have, you know, it's very interesting that we defined this competition, and now people are saying, okay, how do we become that? And I said, I don't know.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of new employees come in and say, what do you mean, I don't know? I mean, you know, the leader is supposed to know. I mean, he's supposed to give some answer. And I said, no, I don't, and you must understand, it's not all positive, right? If you work in that environment, you do not feel appreciated.
Yeah.
Right? You work in an environment where you don't know because there are no milestones defined,
mm-hmm.
right? So you don't know what you're working against.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you have to be very, you know, self-assured to work in an environment and very creative to work in an environment where the future is not about instructions. The future is about, you know, the joy of discovering something which doesn't exist today.
It's living in the ambiguity of it all.
And which is what I call slow cooking.
Yeah.
Right? It's not microwave cooking, it's slow cooking. So it is slow. It will take its time. It will take 2 hours to cook that, you know, lentil. You can pump it into a microwave and do it in 3 minutes. But you've taken a decision to do it in 2 hours.
Yes.
Because it is all participative, and then all the aroma and everything will come with it.
Yes.
So there are different styles of management, and different people will adjust to different things.
But you see bigger benefit in making sure that people feel like this is a good place to be. I mean, turnover has gone down dramatically, and you say you're keeping your most powerful and more effective people.
I think what really happening is that you surround yourself with the people who like that way of working.
Yeah.
So the brighter lot come and join HCL. Mm-hmm. The people who like less instructions and more encouragement and more space come and join HCL.
Yes.
So slowly what happens is the gravitation of talent is towards people who are looking for new things to do, who get excited about new things, experimentation, learnings, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what happens. And, you know, so HCL's success, I would believe, and the reason I underplay HCL's success, yes, it is true, we are the only company who grew in recession.
Mm-hmm.
Our results will be out in 2 days' time. Again, you know, we will rock and roll as we have done in the past. But I think the critical aspect is that the success of HCL was in the past.
Yeah.
The future of HCL will be determined by our continuing to be not married to our success of the past, but being anxious about our future.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the core spirit which employee first, customer second can, you know, continue to demonstrate,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll be very difficult to catch up with us.
Yeah.
Well, that was a wonderful piece of information that we heard from Vineet, Max, and we're going to take another quick break. So please, for our audience, please stay tuned. Come back in a few minutes to Real Recognition Radio as we listen further to our guest, Vineet Nayar, speaking about how to place employees first. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. Getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and myself, Max Brown. And our guest today, Vineet Nayar, the CEO of the $2.3 billion HCL Technologies, based out of India. This is from, obviously, the tape discussion, and we'll continue that discussion now. Let's take a listen.
Jeff Immelt from GE recently said, you know, that the last decade of greed from executives has been so bad that it's been a poor example for everyone. And the idea of retention and turnover has really changed the landscape of the way people feel about who they want to work for and for why. And so it's interesting because there have been a lot that have destroyed workplaces in the way that they've just served themselves.
So I would, you know, it's a very interesting story. You're in India, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the streets of India, what you see is you see these big houses and grumpy people coming up big houses.
Yeah.
And you see these poor little kids playing and the mothers and fathers are laughing and they have no, in this rain, they have no shelter, but at the same time, they look happy.
Yeah.
And I always used to ask myself as to why is...
Yeah.
You know, why the difference is predominantly because these guys are very focused about what they want. Mm-hmm. And this guy is very focused about what they don't have. Mm-hmm. So in any organization, you will always have two sets of people, mm-hmm. right? So I would say that organizations like Tipping Point do not need 100% of the organization to be aligned. You just need to align the transformers, those people with a smile on their face, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, tell us whose ass do we need to kick today.
Let's go.
And then enough fence sitters will move.
Yes.
And those lost souls who do not agree with what you want to do mm-hmm. will slowly move out or change their mind, but whatever happens. If you try and change, that's the important thing I think we should talk about. If you try and change, if you are in the business of changing people's mindset, you're set for failure. If you are in the business of changing business results for your business, you are set for success, because 10% of mindset change is enough for the result to happen, and others greed, because when 10% succeed, then the rest 80% will get greedy as to what are they doing, so
sure.
I need to copy them to succeed. They will change, and the last 10%, irrespective of what you do, will never change.
Sure. There's always going to be a naysayer.
So therefore, I would say, you know, Jeff is absolutely right, but I would just say that it is less to do with trying to make people change.
Yeah.
It is more to do with few good men can get you a lot done,
yeah.
and the rest will follow automatically.
Yeah. Well, and you say that at the last of the book, when you said the acknowledgments, you know, you actually said it takes courage to walk a different path. But when you do, you discover that you're not alone, and there are many who will wish to walk with you. So these are those people you say that want to be with you. They're going to be there with you.
Yeah, it's true, because, you know, and I say this to every single employee, that it takes a huge amount of courage. Oh, you know, a very successful executive of HCL, you know, who was very successful, I told him, you know, your problem is you are very successful. And he looked and stared at me and he said, what happened? I said, why don't you go and create yourself into a zone of uncertainty? Mm. Right? See, what will you discover for yourself? Mm. So he looked at me and I said, that would have the biggest impact for the organization. Mm. And he says, help me understand, why would that have the biggest impact for the organization?
Right.
I said, because you've made yourself so successful that your team can run it. You're redundant now. Mm-hmm. But there are lots of areas we are not successful. Pick one of them, right? And put yourself on the path of failure, because pick up something which is failing.
Mm.
So it will create a huge impact for the organization. And if you really ask me, where will I value you more?
Mm.
In the place where you are successful, in the place which you turned around, which was not successful. Mm. He's in that place. I said, but it takes courage.
Mm.
And everybody will call you a fool. And for a long time, everybody will say that you are a failure, because it's not a performing business, but
yes.
when you turn it around, the smell of roses will never be better again.
Isn't that similar to what happened when you were actually asked if you wanted to take this position?
Yeah.
Right? And at first you were like, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, because, you see, I think my story was a bit different. I think my story was the fact that I really thought that I was not competent, and still think, of handling, running a large company. You know, 64,000, 65,000 employees today is a big responsibility.
Absolutely.
You know, and the employee responsibility sits a lot, you know, bigger on my shoulder than maybe other CEOs. I take that responsibility seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Of the fact that, you know, it's not just about paying salaries to them that they can earn anywhere. It's about, you're dealing with their aspirations. You're dealing with their hopes. You're dealing with their excitements. You're dealing with lots of issues. And you're taking a responsibility. And in 2005, I was not very sure that I had the answers to the questions which were being asked.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I forced myself into this position.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So you walked into a place where it might have been scary.
Yes, that was. And and I think that turned out to my advantage. If you ask me in hindsight, actually, it's a very interesting thought which crossed my mind. In hindsight, right,
mm-hmm.
if Vineet Nair of today was given the job in year 2005,
yes.
I can tell you I would have blown it up.
Mm.
Predominantly because there are lots of things I know which would make you unsuccessful.
Mm.
So the right position and right job for you to take in life when you don't know is large enough.
Mm.
Because that's the only way you will be open, you will experiment, you will play all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know something and you keep on doing what you already know,
mm-hmm.
irrespective of what I tell you, you will keep telling people what you already know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I'm scared of in Vineet Nair.
Yes.
Right? So if he was doing the 2005 again, he he would have blown it up. He would have not been more successful.
Interesting. But you're modeling exactly what you're suggesting for these other executives, which is go into something that is new for you.
Yeah.
Push into your fear, if you will.
Sure.
And it's ambiguous and it's scary and it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's probably the right place to be. And would you suggest that for all employees in terms of success?
I think to push into
their fear?
I think I would suggest this to all middle managers. And this book has been written not for CEOs, because CEOs have already arrived in life, right? Mm-hmm. It is written for middle managers. And I would say to all middle managers that walk where your fears are.
Yes.
Right? Be open, be transparent. I mean, it's everybody likes to see a person fall from an elephant.
Mm.
So stop climbing elephants.
Mm.
Right? Just get off the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Because the elephant is success.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Get off there, try and do new experiments, and life will take care of you.
Mm.
My belief is that you have to live an experimental journey.
Mm.
You live an achievement journey where all you're collecting is certificates
yes.
and writing bioretas which do not reflect your true self. A, people know.
Mm.
And I said, my daughter knows, your daughter and son would know. I'm telling you, young 5-year, 6-year-old kids, I still remember when I first went out for dinner, right? Our children were very small.
Yes.
So me and my wife could never go out for dinner alone, right?
Yeah.
And we were married for quite some time.
I'm in that situation now.
Right.
My children are very small. It's very difficult.
Right. So every time you will try and go out, they will ask you where you're going.
Yes.
So we went out for dinner. We decided we are going out because our life is getting completely screwed up.
Yeah. Right?
So they asked, where are you going? And we told them that we are going to somebody's house for a very boring marriage, whatever it is.
Yes.
Right? So they bought into it. We went and a nice dinner came home and both of them were awake. And we said, why did you not sleep? Because you lied to us. So, how do you know? I said, did you or did you not? Yes, we lied to you. But we know. How do they know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question is, all I'm saying is, assume in life that others know exactly what you know.
And so there's no use in trying to cover and hide and be something that you're not.
You're not.
So be open, be vulnerable, and be transparent.
True.
And people will have to post their evaluations online, the 360s.
Yeah, but at the same time, create that environment, which is developmental, right? The way, as your kids are growing, right? If you really want to be their friends, you'll have to give them an environment where their views are as important as yours.
Yes.
You know, when they say something and you say something and you give up to what you're saying and take them, that's the only way they will see themselves grow. So therefore, the whole 360 degree issue is the fact that, yes, I encourage managers to put their 360 degree, including mine, on the web for 65,000 employees to see. However, we use that feedback only for development purposes.
It's not punitive.
Yeah, it's not punitive. But if you use it for punitive purposes or, not for development purposes, you'll get it wrong.
Right.
Then you put yourself again in the seat of power.
Yes.
That is not right. That's not the way to do it.
Let's take a quick break, but we'll come back with our final segment with our guest, Vineet Nayar. Don't go away. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to continue our conversation today with Vineet Nayar, CEO of HCL Technologies, and learn some final pointers from this great interview that Max had with Vineet in India. And Max, I kind of picked up from what you were saying earlier that even Vineet struggles with how to get recognition and appreciating people right.
Well, I would agree that it's because of this. His concern is that he doesn't want it to sound contrived. Isn't that fantastic?
Right.
You know, he just doesn't want it. He doesn't want a leader to sound insincere if they're going to give recognition. So his biggest concern is to make sure that people actually feel like if they're being recognized, it's real.
Yes.
So he's definitely in line with what we're doing. And in this segment, I'm excited, too, because you get to hear Gitanjali, a young woman who is actually there. She's a high performer, great employee at HCL. She was actually in the interview while I was interviewing Vineet. And she felt very comfortable in contributing to the conversation, which she did in this segment. And I think that speaks a lot to how comfortable she is with a very powerful CEO, a very influential
CEO.
Yeah. Yet a very genuine human being as well, and that he actually acknowledged, he appreciated her comments, and of course her comments are brilliant for the story we're about to hear too, around how powerful recognition can be when you do it well.
Wow. Well, I look forward to hearing this.
So how do you appreciate and recognize employees at HCL then?
That's an interesting question, and I've struggled with it, and I'd like to hear your views, because that's the area which you're an expert on.
Mm-hmm.
So let me explain my hypothesis. My hypothesis is that the employees are really employees gain the max from credible source of recognition, or they feel inspired the most from credible source of inspiration, rather than incredible source of information.
Agree.
Inspiration, not recognition. Organization and bosses are poor in form of credibility. Because they have an objective, right? And there is lack of transparency as to how that came. So I always see that when a child runs up to you with love and affection and, you know, jumps on you, that is an appreciation. And that's the ultimate sense of recognition, you know, runs up to you and saying, "Dad," right?
Yeah.
That is recognition, and that is what you will do anything in life.
Yes.
Now, I can't imagine the boss doing that, right? And irrespective of what... So we have some things, stuff, which we do, which the boss recognizes. And I think all of them are waste of time. At least I've not figured out something which works. So the struggle which I was is, how can I make employees recognize their bosses?
Yeah.
Right? How can I reverse that trend and make that happen? So we are experimenting with 360 degree was one way of not just evaluating, recognizing. You must remember, 90% of managers get extremely good rating, and therefore 90% of them feel recognized. Right, so it's that's one way. Secondly, the fact that anybody does anything good for you, you can send him some kind of a point system we have where you can recognize that person.
Sure,
that you did something here. The third idea which we are really evaluating on recognition is less to do with recognition, more to do with value. Is actually organizations should be like stock exchanges. Right. Stock exchanges only work on trading, right? You sell and I buy. So what happens if we sell and buy value or recognition or help? And therefore you are recognized by the value you collected of people who paid you for what you did for them, right? So that's the conceptualization which is going through my mind right now. That how can I make everybody equal and create a stock exchange, because stock exchange is the most mature way of, you know, trading in something. And in my mind, if the trade is not in exchange, but the trade is in form of some units of recognition, units of value, then can I create an organization which is a lot more fun than it is today? So that's where my thought is. What's your thought?
Well, it's a good question. I do agree with you that I think a lot of leadership, in fact, has an ulterior objective. So when recognition does happen, it's cynical. But I also think that part of that is because there is no trust relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and when there's no transparency, then that's a big problem. On the other hand, where I found at least from the book and what I've observed just in our conversation, when a leader actually has that transparency, when they actually do have that level of trust, recognition from someone like that is never forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, people will cherish that for the rest of their lives. I've met some people who have actually been recognized by a manager, superior, even a CEO, that, my goodness, they'll never throw that letter away, you know, or they'll show it to their entire family. I was actually in Washington, D.C. not long ago, and speaking to a group, and afterwards someone came up and said, listen, after I got my recognition, I shared it with my entire family. You know, they were so proud about what they had received. On the other hand, we see recognition that is not very good or very strong because it was just, you know, pick up your award. It came through the mail distribution or whatever.
True.
And it's ineffective.
Actually, it's very interesting because when you say something like, you know, how do you share it with the family? And it's a personal experience. And there's something called, you know, when you rate it typically for your performance and you reviewed your various ratings. And
yes.
Say, for example, you're outstanding, which is the topmost rating, and you don't get it very easy. You know,
yes.
You have to be really good at your work to get it.
To get it.
And say, for example, you get it for 2 years, and I did last year, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It seemed like I won some Oscar or something because the way I was treated, you know, my family was called for this huge event where they were called on stage. And actually, the leadership, you know, all the leadership, including the HR leadership, and everybody called them and congratulated them. I mean, they actually hugged my dad and said, you know, we're so proud of you that you've got, like, this girl is amazing.
Wow.
And, you know, I had tears in my eyes and my parents were like, oh, my God. And I had a trophy which I've still kept in my room and I'm like, I can't believe it. So much so, I mean, like, my fiancé goes around telling his family, you know, she's an outstanding artist. They're like, what does that mean? No, she's just great. You know, so I think that really does work.
And there is incredible amount of pride.
Yeah, there is. And you're absolutely right. That would not come if I was to feel that, oh, these guys are just making it up.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It happens, right? In previous organizations also one would have seen it.
Yeah.
But this makes a difference because you know it's not easy to get there.
Yes.
And because you've got that.
So it has to be earned.
Yes.
We have to have a level of trust. And the transparency has to be there. So one of the questions I typically lead with is, what is my motive as a leader? What is my motive for really encouraging and taking and saying that I care about my people? Is it really just because I need engagement or satisfaction? And as you've talked about in the book, that really, is that really what we're looking for? Or are we really helping people to live better lives? And that when I help them live a better life, they actually have my interest in mind as well. And that this collective passion is so much stronger. It's so much better. And now when I celebrate that with them, that they'll never forget that, you know, that there's tokens of appreciation people love. One last one on that, I guess. I was talking to a corporate lawyer, right? And he said, I don't believe in this recognition thing. You know, I don't need all this stuff. And I said, really? We're in his office. And he had a couple of awards on his desk. So I asked him, what was this about, you know? And he goes on and tells me this wonderful story connected with this award he had received. And that's the point, is that the awards we receive have to have the symbolic gesture. They're just the token of the story and the experience of being on stage with my mom and my dad telling me that what I did was really, really important. And that value is so passionate right to the core of who I am that I will do anything to do this job because I love what they do and they appreciate me in return. I think that's where I'm at. Is that fair?
I think it's a fair... very fair conclusion. And I'll just add a couple of words to what you're saying. Say, look at a teacher.
Yes.
Good teachers. And I always used to wonder, what do they get out of it? I get the star, right?
Yeah.
And I feel very good. And I take the home. And we're talking about the trophies.
Yes.
But what happens to the teacher, right? And who recognizes the teacher? And, you know, because you've taken away a lot. But what happened to him or her?
Indeed.
And I get a sense... The fact that he or she saw that joy in your eyes and with the star you got is the recognition he or she is looking for.
Yes.
So the leaders we need for tomorrow, right, are going to look for recognition in the success or the joy or what they have given, right? They can see a person grow. That person was nobody. He suddenly grew. So I you know, maybe I should write a blog on this, but the more I think about it is, because I've been searching for what are the definitions, because you can't be Nelson Mandela, right? We have very few Nelson Mandelas. But in everybody's life, there has been some teacher who's made a huge difference to you in your life.
Yes.
Who has given more than taken.
Yes.
Right? And if that was the form of leaders which we have in the organization, who believe in their joy in giving and making people grow, I think the organization's made. And that's the ultimate source of recognition, and that's the ultimate, you know, giving of recognition.
Max, this has been a wonderful show today with your interview with Vineet Nayar. And maybe, Max, I can just ask you to just put some pointers here on how people perhaps could either connect with Vineet or even just learn more about this wonderful work he's doing.
You bet. I highly recommend people connect with him. He's very, very fun person, very knowledgeable, extremely smart, and hopefully people have enjoyed that and learned that as well from this discussion. You can reach him on Twitter, at Vineet Nayar. So Vineet, V-I-N-E-E-T-N-A-Y-A-R, Vineet Nayar. You can follow him there. And, of course, you can get his book, Employees First, Customer Second, which I highly recommend. It's a great read. And for those who are looking for something that is actually a transition and a story of how it's done, this is a great book to read. It's not about a 1-2-3 step of success or anything like that. It's just simply how HCL has transitioned itself from a company that was actually struggling in where they were going in the future to a company that absolutely knows where they're headed and has engaged their best minds in doing that. Highly recommend. Great read. It was a fun interview, and I appreciate the opportunity. So thanks for the opportunity as well, and I thank Vineet for letting us go out and meet with him there to share this broadcast as well.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time you put into this, Max, to making this happen. Tune in for our next show, where Max and I will be continuing our discovery, our discussions, and just going deeper, if you will, on creating better workplaces and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. Max and I welcome and even encourage you to send in your comments, ideas, suggestions, or even guests you would like us to interview. Please email us at feedback@realrecognition.com, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, you can visit us at realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Sonneson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Sonneson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week. How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.